The matrix that I used to lay out this was just copying how we legislated in the Senate. And that's the most important thing. Making laws has to be a deliberative process. If you do what we see now with initiatives, where you qualify them and the people just vote on them, that's a shotgun approach, and that is not lawmaking. What is lawmaking is the deliberation and the processes you put in place to bring it about. And one of the documents that was most helpful in permitting me to do this was research done, I think it was in 92. It was research done, and we have two gentlemen who are our first speakers, and we'll divide it up because they submitted one paper jointly because of the time constraints that they had in other areas. And so we have Robert Stern and Craig Holman. Craig Holman, please.
Thanks for the introduction, Mike. You've done good work here. I've enjoyed this conference very much. The book that Senator Gravel has referred to was co-authored by Bob Stern and I, called Democracy by Initiative. It is an amazing work, considering that Bob and I rarely agree on most of our recommendations. So anyways, we're going to go through some of the key findings of our recommendations and divide them up, dealing with a lot of the nuts and bolts. First of all, California, the experience of California, offers a lot of lessons for all of us, for the national initiative, because of the development of the initiative process in that state. California has seen the emergence of a massive professionalized initiative industry, and it is something that will affect any kind of national initiative that may emerge out of this conference or elsewhere. And in California, even with the professionalization that we see of the initiative process in that state, and the expense and the amount of money that goes into the initiative process, we find one of the most recent polls show that well over 70% of Californians still support, very much support, the initiative process, but at the same time recognize that there are needs for reform. The initiative process in California is a wide-open initiative process, much like most other states. And Californians love it, but they also want to see some significant changes in it. And this is where Bob and I picked up our work, trying to analyze what the major problems were going on in California and offering a set of recommendations to reform that process. One of the main problems we came up with, well, the first problem we came up with, of course, was the amount of money that goes into the initiative process. But since we were focusing on the state level, there wasn't a whole lot we could do in that, given Supreme Court rulings that limit our ability to restrict money in the initiative process. That's something that the national initiative doesn't have to worry about. The second main problem, though, really is the quality of initiative legislation that emerges out of the initiative process. We found several problems that related to reducing the quality of initiative legislation. First of all, the initiative process tends not to have this deliberative framework of legislating. It often involves just a small group of proponents who want to see a problem addressed, and they sit down in their kitchen and write an initiative and then submit it for titling to the Attorney General's office, and that's it. It becomes written in stone. It cannot be changed thereafter. They didn't get much dialogue from opponents of the measure. They didn't get a public hearing. They didn't get any other input, and so that frequently leads to poorly drafted initiatives. Then if we are going to reform the initiative process, though, to allow some sort of deliberation, and that usually would involve requiring some sort of interaction with the legislative process and initiative proponents, in order to make sure the initiative process itself does not get damaged, A second important criteria must be upheld, and that is proponent amendability. If you're going to get the legislature involved in the initiative process and involved in the drafting of initiatives and reviewing of initiatives, you're going to endanger the principal purpose of the initiative process if you take the proponents out of the driver's seat. You've got to make every effort to make sure the proponents still have complete control over the final draft of that initiative. And the third key element of a good reform program would involve some sort of mechanisms for voter information. If money is going to overwhelm the process, and we're going to see that, and even in a national initiative as proposed, we're going to see a great deal of money involved in any kind of campaigns for and against. So it becomes really an obligation of the government, of the state, or the national government in this case, to provide some sources of neutral voter information so voters could actually seek out information that they believe is at least semi-credible and semi-neutral to try to understand what these initiatives are about. The national initiative, as proposed by the Democracy Foundation, contains many of the reforms that I see as being noble in trying to improve the initiative process. First of all, it restricts the flow of money in initiative campaigns. It facilitates voter information through an assortment of government mechanisms, voters' pamphlet websites, that kind of stuff set up by the government. It requires disclosure of the proponents and the sponsors behind initiatives. And most important of all, the national initiative, as proposed here, introduces that deliberative quality into the initiative process. It's something very unique, by the way. States tend to overlook this, where it requires a role in which both the legislature, or Congress in this case, and other series of experts get involved in the drafting of legislation, and so it becomes a much more of a deliberative process. It's a very important element here.